Good morning. Praise the Lord. I would like first to send greetings to you all from my church in a city called Yogyakarta. Oh, thank you. And it's a church of about 80 people, and they've been praying for me. This is for my first time to Canada, so they've been praying for me and send their greeting to you. I would like also to thank you, Pastor Jeff, and also in the leadership in here, to allow me to preach the Word of God this morning. So I give the theme for the sermon this morning, Father's Blessing in Suffering. So I would like to little bit talk about my family. Okay, can you go to the next slide? So this is my wife and my 6-year-old son, Judah, and my 15-month-old daughter, Jedi. So it's not Jedi in Star Wars, right? So this is Jedi. So I just want to clarify. So you will not see me as a Star Wars geek or something. So let's come to the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, this is the church whose Paul been like coming around to different early church. And these people in the Corinth, like, have seen how Paul suffer. And in the chapter 1, verse 3, it says that there is a distinct blessing from the Trinitarian God. It's not from Jesus Christ, from not Holy Spirit, but from the Father. It says, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of our comfort. Verse 4, who comfort us in all our troubles so that we may be able to comfort those experiencing any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Verse 3 talk about the blessing and comfort from God and the Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are thinking about the Father God, we're thinking about He as a sustainer of this universe, creator of heaven and earth. But it say in here, in verse 3, blessed is the God and the Father. So Father, our Father God, have a distinct blessing is to give us comfort. So what kind of comfort here? In verse 4 it says, comfort us in all our troubles. So comfort, if you see in the Greek word, in the original language, it says it's come along aside a person who are in trouble. So it's not about always fixing our problems, but His presence come alongside of us. So it's not about always fulfill what we want, what we desire, but He's not far. That's the presence of our Father, distinct presence of our Father, the verse 3 said. So, but what is the purpose of the comfort that come from our Father? It says in the verse 4, comfort us in our troubles so that we may be able to comfort those experiencing any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God, God the Father. So that comfort, the reality, the truth that our Father always be with us is designed so that we can comfort others. We share the testimony that our God, our Father, never forsake us. And so how does it work then? How does the comfort of our Father, the promise that He will always be with us, and then we can share that comfort to other people, how does it work? How does it look like? Verse 5 say, just as the suffering of Christ overflow toward us, so also our comfort through Christ overflows to you. It's interesting, when you talk about comfort, we don't want to talk about suffering. But suffering of Christ preceding the comfort of Christ. And you don't want to have other comfort beside God's comfort, right? But God's comfort came to us as a believer in the manifestation, to be exact, in suffering of Christ. There's always suffering before comfort. There's always suffering of Christ when we believe in Jesus, we receive the gospel, and the Holy Spirit resides on us, and in the same time, we also receive the suffering of Christ. And only after we receive suffering of Christ, there's comfort of Christ that coming. In our ministry with the pastors, with missionaries in Indonesian islands, 17,000 islands, the most populated Muslim country in the world, we always have these needs. There is a pastor who's been childless, want to have children. There's been pastors who've been moving, kicked out from the houses. They want to have to rent the house, but the prices are so high. And because they're Christian, preaching the gospel, the landlord or the owner of the house, they do not want them. So the comfort might be, I just want to have child. I just want to have roof that I'm not get wet. But the truth say, the comfort of suffering in Christ is not what we want, is not what we desire, but God of our Godfather, Father God, is always be with us. And then the comfort of Christ proceeding from the suffering of Christ. So in the next word is say, Paul said to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 6, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort that you experience in your patient endurance of the same suffering that we also suffer. So this suffering comfort also, Paul was so confident that his suffering and comfort, suffering will bring comfort and then will bring forth the salvation from the Corinthians. Paul has been persecuted. He's been traveling. People chase him. People wanted to kill him. But somehow, Paul, by the grace of God, our Father, and the comfort in the manifestation of Christ's suffering, he then say, don't look at me with pity. Don't look at me with perhaps disgust. But look at me, so then you will have comfort, first thing. Second thing, and then you also certain of your salvation. And give up in verse 6, in the end of verse 6, your patient endurance of the same suffering that we also suffer. I've been doing this running exercise. I just started that 6 months ago. And I'm now 41 years old, and sometimes I feel that's too late to start running. But when I started running 6 months ago, I only did 50 meters. I felt that I was almost died, like just heavy, and I felt like I got heart attack. Wife, please help me, my wife. I said that. But then I realized, my wife said, well, you said you want to run, right? So you need to keep doing it. So I've do it. Then I start again the next week after, and I could run 100 meters. Still heavy, still feel like I was going to die. But then started doing again, and after 6 months now, I could run 12K without stopping. So that's teaching something about patience and endurance and how the Lord designed our body, that our body will adapt. But that's much more important thing about, there is something much more important than just our body. It's our faith. That the more we see suffering, and not, then more we know the purpose, the suffering always preceding comfort. It's not just comfort of having, like I said before, like our missionary want to have comfort of having a child. The other want to have a comfort of just not to get wet in heavy rain season. But this is comfort that come from Christ. And of course, all those desire of our pastor and missionaries are important. But this is the comfort of Christ. So when whatever necessary or whatever pain and affliction come, it's comfort of Christ also present and real in their life and also in your life. And what is this? What is the final purpose of the suffering of that produce comfort from the Lord, from God our Father, and the Christ suffering? It said in verse 8, Paul actually expressed his heart this way. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, regarding the affliction that happened to us in the province of Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of living." So Paul and he and his companion, they will feel like this is just too hard, and but probably death is a better way. You know, sometimes when doing ministry, and we felt like this is just too much, and perhaps that's a dying and meeting with the Lord is the best way to avoid this pain, this persecution. People like the hatred toward us, like so much, like we don't have friends. And that's what Paul expressed to the people in Corinthians. We even despaired even our life. And verse 9, he elaborated more. "Indeed, we felt as if the sentence of death had been passed against us." But there's a purpose when the things not really happening in our way. Paul said, what is the purpose? "So that we will not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." This is really interesting, the truth and the word of God, because it takes suffering and death sentence to change our mind of relying to ourselves to relying to God. I will retire it again. I will say it again. It takes suffering and sentence of death to change how we think, that we tend to rely on ourselves and then we rely to God. You see, my wife and my father-in-law, they have same disease, cancer disease. They used to suffer lymphoma cancer. My father-in-law, we look after him for a while, and he needed to do 6 cycles of chemotherapy. My wife needed to do 12 cycles of chemotherapy. The doctor said it is 6 cycles for my father-in-law, and it's all clean now, praise the Lord. But my wife, lymphoma cancer is so severe, so she needed 12 cycles of chemotherapy. Do you get this? The Lord also knows what's in our heart. When the disease of our heart is to rely on people, on rely on ourselves, He allows suffering to take away our self-dependency, or the reliance on other people differently, and he used the suffering. He did not cause the suffering, but he used the suffering differently from one to another. Maybe if I got cancer like that, maybe doctor want me to have 60 cycles of chemos. It means that my heart so hardened, maybe I need to suffer much more than my wife and my dad, because he knows how hardened my heart. He knows that my heart so self-reliance of my own experience or my own credentials. He wants to take it away through the suffering. Verse 10 said, he delivered us so great a risk of death, and he will deliver us. We have set our hope on him that he will deliver us yet again. So Paul said, suffering is there and it will come again. But suffering is there, comfort there. Suffering will come again, but also comfort will come again. That's the promise. So we, as a fellow brother in Christ, verse 11 say, as you also join in helping us by prayer, so that many people may give thanks to God on our behalf for the gracious gift given to us through the help of many. In the end, when God, our Father, are present with us, that's the meaning of the word comfort, right? It means that in the end, people will glorify God. It's not about my experience, although experience important, it's not about skills that I have, although skills that we haven't learned, it's important, but it is about God's presence in our life. I don't know about you, but for myself, I've been relying on myself sometimes. And the Lord know my heart, and the Lord know how much he allows suffering happen in my life so that I rely on God much more. Oh, I want to finish sermon this morning with the slide. So this is happened in 2000, in the year of 2000, 1997 to the year 2000. There's a chaos happened in Indonesia. Something like revolution happened in our country. So there was a dictator by name of Suharto, has been ruling our country for more than 30 years. He's been kidnapping the opposition and also killing all the activists, and also he's also been like closing church's doors. Please go to the next one. This is 1997. I've told the story this morning in that Sunday school how my mom faced the mob of 60, 70 people who wanted to burn our church. The story becomes so famous because my mom faced them. They were okay with us as a neighbor, but when we started building the church, they became so hostile. And this is in 1997. My father was away, my two sisters was away, and I was 12 years old. And my mom faced them, and the Lord delivered my mom from this incident, and all those 60 people left dumbfounded. Like, they just awkwardly left the church building. The story became famous, but there is one young man hid behind that mom. It was me. I was so traumatized. I was so fearful. And I lost my friend in the community because my father and my mother built the church. Can you go next, please? This is my father and my mother. They were respected. Right now, my father is 77 years old, and my mom is 72, I think. Yes, she's 72 years old. And missionaries and pastor Indonesia under their wings, they called them Papa and Mama Paulus because they love him and respected him. We respected my mom too. But When my father wanted me to become a missionary leader, I said, "Would these people, missionary, love me like they're doing to my father and mom?" You know, that nervousness and questioning about yourself happened that way. So my mom and father also wanted me to become a pastor, which I refused on that time in 2008. Next. So I fled to Australia. I had long hair back then because it's so cold down there in Tasmania. This is a mascot of Australian football. They call it Footy Full On, so AFL. So it's a little bit similar with NFL in America, but much more like subtly, not as violent. So I went to Australia. What I was doing in Australia, I just want to flee. I just want to flee from the God's calling. My father really wanted me to be a pastor, but I was also so traumatized. I just didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity, with Jesus. So I fled there, and the first guy who picked me up in the airport, he was a pastor. "Welcome, praise the Lord, welcome to Tasmania." And I said, "Oh no, any Christian thing again, oh no." But he like picked me up and he looked after me. He seemed to know that I was wounded man. So, and he's doing ministry, helping young people with difficult background, with a lot of mental health issues. And the Lord's been helping these young people. And I was not supposed to be a patient there, but the Lord put me as a patient. So the Lord also healed me there in Australia, in Tasmania. Next, please. I got married. This is in 2018. I'm married. We are different tribes, and we speak completely different language, right? I could not understand her language. She could understand my language, but I can always tell when she's talking about me. So praise the Lord. So we got married in 2018 in February. My wife's, you know, Fefin, F-E-F-I-N, it stands for February 14th because she was born in Valentine's Day. Or I do not celebrate Valentine's, so that's okay. So we got married February 2018, and in the month of May, the Lord allowed me to get elected as a chairman of our denomination. I was 33 years old. Next, please. So I've been doing all of this prior to being elected, traveling around the island, support missionaries, support evangelists, preaching the gospel. I was so enjoying it. So there is one guy here right in the bottom corner. He's a former bouncer, Muslim bouncer. You know, bouncer, right? Like the one whose occupation is hitting people. Bouncer, is that the word in Canada? Yeah. So he trusted the Lord. We preached the gospel to him, and he gave the life to the Lord. I just so enjoying it, traveling around and seeing how people accepting Christ and training missionary and a pastor. But next, after I became a chairman during 2018-2023, I just sit in the office, seeing document, seeing how pastor fight against other pastor, how older pastor didn't want to hear from me because I was a young leader. I was so frustrated. I was so depressed on that time. So it's been really difficult 5 years. If you're getting used to moving around and then you sit in the office, just so nightmare for me. It had been 5 years of nightmare. Next, please. But if there is a good thing, become a chairman, is that I learned how to wear the suit. Yes, that's a good thing about it. The only good thing, I'm kidding. There's a lot of good things, of course. But I start wearing suit and, you know, making a formal arrangement, talking about strategic meeting, strategic leadership and planning. But down in my heart, I was so frustrated and depressed. Please, next slide. And the victim was my wife and my son. Judah was born in 2019. So every time I return home, I brought the depression and frustration to them. I'm sorry. So my son didn't know anything. He just said, "Why were you so angry?" I just could not hold myself. My wife, in the end, said, "You need help." Next, please. So I went to psychiatrists and psychologists and was diagnosed with emotional disturbance and anxieties. It's not like in disorder one, but little bit anxiety problem. Like in the verge of being disorder. So I also took drugs to like give the psychiatrist say that need to have a small depression. They call it depression. But somehow after I consume that, I said to God, "Lord, I've been learning so much in the last 5 years. I know you allowed me to take this, but also I do not want this." So after praying and reading scriptures for a few months, and the word of God came to my heart and said, "My grace is sufficient for you." So then I took all the drugs and chucked it in the rubbish bin. And I felt better ever since. I felt that the Lord healing me used that problems. But you know what? The Lord, He did not just healing me because of the depression and the leadership, but He was also healing me of my trauma when I was 12 years old, when my mom facing the mob wanted to burn the church. So He actually saw my problem then, but also saw my problem back then. Next, please. So that I can see my fellow pastors and missionaries who are in struggle, in their suffering. I just seen them differently. I love them differently. Why? Because the Lord allowed me to go through the suffering. And I could bring God's comfort to them. So please pray for our pastor and missionaries here. We have 90 to 100 pastor and missionaries in our group and network. They have their own problems. They have their own sufferings. Please pray for them. And in the end, through all of this suffering, so I can bring comfort to the people, but also the Lord want to change my heart. For what? To become a good father and to become a good husband. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Thank you that your comfort is a promise that you will be with us no matter what happened. It's a promise that manifested in the suffering of Christ, which overflow in us, and then the promise of truth that the comfort of Christ will also overflow in us. Lord, as we might be suffering with different kind of suffering, I pray for those who sit in this church, may your comfort be with them and they may find purpose to be comfort for other people their needs. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, and thank you for your words. Amen.